Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, goodness.
Hi, welcome to The Intersection. We don't have any music right now because my computer is restarting. So an Apple tried to install something, and I thought it said something else. Oh, Lord. Anyway, here we are. We're so happy to be here with you all. And, of course, my name is Susan Mizrahi, overall grandmother of the House of Mizrahi in the ballroom community. And hosting with me this evening, as usual, is my brother from another mother, the icon, the ballroom icon, Mr. Shady Prada, overall father and hardest working man in ballroom. Hey, Shady.
Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
Oh, just the ladies? It's other people listening.
Hey, gentlemen.
I know you're talking to me as a hybrid. But
yes.
And please welcome the indomitable, our interview mistress, master, whatever you want to call her, our friend, our lovely Miss Jahira the Alto Balenciaga. Welcome, Jahira. You better say something.
I'm stuck on indomitable, which is like the diametric
indomitable
opposite of what I feel like today. But I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to fake it till I make it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hi, big brother.
Right, Shady?
What's up, baby? Yeah, take it till you make it. Everybody else doing it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I don't know about that. You might want to go back and reframe.
I usually only did it with my ex, but, you know.
You say you're having dinner with your ex?
I said I usually only did that with my ex. Fake it till I make it.
Oh. Oh, no. See, you see what you did, Shady? You see what you started?
I'm sorry.
You started. You gave a girl a flashback or something. I don't know what's going on. What's going on in
triggered.
The world today? I know, right? See, Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico still in the Virgin Islands, still down and out.
Mm-hmm.
They are completely gagging. It's so sad.
Yeah.
They
realized they were part of this country, jackass.
Hmm. Mm-mm.
You know, I had the biggest argument with I'll try not to get into it, but you know, one of my lieutenants who is a Puerto Rican came to work today unapologetically with a red marker under her eye, all the way to her nose, to her cheek, on both cheeks, and down the center of her chin. And she walked around all day like that. And she dared a motherfucker to say something to her. Because she said that is her. She's rebelling until they do something with help Puerto Rico. That's her protest.
Oh, okay. I was hoping she wasn't doing that NFL bullshit. Like, you're Puerto Rican and NFL on your mind right now?
No. That was her way of protesting what's going on
at her
in Puerto Rico. And I was like, LT was good. Fuck these motherfuckers. Ain't nobody going to say shit to me. I was like, okay.
Right.
And then we was talking outside where I work my post and shit for a minute, and one of the Trump rotors walked by that's always air hustling with another lieutenant, and he was saying, well, there's no way to get stuff out there. Yo, when I tell you she turned around like Carrie and lit that motherfucker like the fucking Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center, I sat there and was laughing. I said, they could do whatever they want. They could find ways to get shit over there if they want to. The city is sitting in. I think he finally the Jones law today, right? Did he get rid of it for today? Temporarily suspended?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
he didn't have no choice. He had to show face with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And but really that's not even that is part of, that is one issue, but it's not the main thing. And see, this is what people think that I guess the Puerto Rican people are stupid. But we've all seen those old movies like Black and White before color movies even came out, and you had the ships that bring the Marines to shore. They bring them out, and then they got the smaller boats that bring them all the way to the sand. like the sins of Evil Genius.
Right.
So, and I just happen to live like on the same. The end of my street is the Joint Expeditionary Base, which is an amphibious base, which is all the boats and ships that go from water to land. They got a whole fucking base.
Right.
Of that.
That's a figure of it.
So you telling me that you got boats that we pay billions of dollars for, ships and boats and all kinds of devices that are designed specifically to come from them big ass carriers, going through all that water, go on land and still come on, get on wheels like a fucking lizard and keep on moving. So you can tell me a lot of things, but at the end of my block, I know better. I know
right.
They have the capabilities of doing whatever needs to be done. Because all that helicopter bullshit ain't going to work. Because helicopters are dangerous to be landing in cities. And where you don't know what's going on, where people are and all that. Because you can chop somebody's damn head off. But these amphibious vehicles can, like I said, can sail on water, hit the sand, and the wheels come out and keep on moving. So why ain't you? I mean, what's the problem here? There is none other
problem
than
is you don't give a fuck.
Y'all president.
That's the problem. You
mm-hmm.
just don't give a fuck. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Don't give a
see,
fuck.
And to go even deeper than that, it's not just that he doesn't give a fuck. It's the fact that he's never had to give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking
right.
about somebody who's been so insulated within the world, who is now thrust in the eye of global attention and literally doesn't know what to do with himself.
No.
To say nothing of the fact that he's
like
just a jackass in general.
Just like I explained to y'all about the amphibious, this motherfucker probably don't even know. He probably doesn't even know about the damn boat.
Right.
It's just sad. I mean, I remember when Bush 43 came to office, the second time he was reelected, I refused to speak his name for like a year because he had done so much diabolical shit. Well, he did it because the buck stopped at the presidency. But his was to enrich his people, his cronies, his buddies, not necessarily to hurt the United States, even though it hurts us financially, but he knows that every president is going to cause us a lot of debt. But this motherfucker right here, and the thing is, the other 43, President Bush, the second Bush, at least he had been a governor. He was an attorney. You know what I'm saying? He had some, even though he wasn't a very bright guy, he had some history. And then he had his father, who was the head of the CIA and a former president. His mother, who is the Illuminati. I love Barbara Bush. Barbara Bush is a bad bitch, I'm telling you. That lady got a husband president, son president, and another son who could have been president had it not been for Trump. Because I really thought this was his turn, Jeb Bush down in Florida. But she got a governor and two presidents. Come on now. Tell me that lady ain't working with something.
Well,
don't
you make a point.
Okay. I mean, you can't. Mm-mm. The last time we had somebody that, a woman that bad, was the Kennedy matriarch. But she ain't play no games either. Everybody was playing
on Rose
Joe
was
Kennedy.
Not a joke.
Mm-mm. Everybody put it on Joe, but Rose was like, nah, bitch, mm-mm. The only reason why Joe wasn't a bigger wig because it was still prejudice against Catholics back in those days. Excuse me, I almost had to get...
Absolutely.
I'm a little parched. But, you know, it's a politics day, so, you know, I'm excited because I love politics. And I watch politics all day. All day, every day, Josiah can tell you. Jojo tell me, you ain't watching the news again. I watch MSNBC. I'm not a big fan of CNN, only because of the Lemonhead. I watch him every now and then when he's not on. Don Lemon, he just plucks my nerves. But he just spent so long being Uncle Tom, and now he's got to change it soon. It's too late, buddy. The damage is done. So do y'all watch the news? You watch local news or you watch national news? Hello?
It's like, yeah, I'm listening. You talking to me, Jahala. I watch the news, but I try not to because I get mad. But when I come in from work, I might go to watch a little bit. And then when I get pissed off, I turn because I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's too much.
Only thing I can't watch in politics for very long is anything about the Affordable Care Act. Because it's more than pissing me off. But for one, I'm in a situation where my grandson is disabled. He has a pre-existing condition, like three of them. So destroy his health care, it just really pisses me off. So, you know, I'm not with that at all. So, yeah, other than that, I'm trying to see who's on here. Okay, yeah. So when I watch that, it's like torture because they play with us every other month. They come up with some new plan where they try to and we all know they're trying to like back in the day when they blew the nose off the Sphinx to try to get rid of the African features. They're trying to blow everything out of this, you know, out of our government that gives them any hint of President Obama. So. I don't even want to be here if something called Trump Care, because I would never call it that because he doesn't care. But that's what he wants. He wants some Trump Care. He wants a signature situation. Anything with his name, because we know he likes putting his name on stuff.
That's all this about.
Yeah. But he's like just the dumbest. Oh, my God. This is so crazy. And right now I'm reading, I'm listening to Hillary Clinton's book. And I know all y'all are tired of Hillary, but I want that hoe to run again and win. If Mueller doesn't turn this whole thing over and delegitimize it, that would be so fucking hilarious for them to just march Trump out the office. Look, bitch, you stole something. What I feel. The presidency, bitch. But this thing is dragging out. I mean, it really hasn't been that long considering you're talking about investigating the U.S. president. It hasn't been that long. But, excuse me, as time goes by, he's still looking for a way to get rid of Mueller. Which, that's going to be a whole shitstorm, too. Can y'all believe my computer is still restarting? Oh, my God, Apple, you are trying me. They put their little software updates and trying to take forever. I can't believe this.
Well, that shit took about 3 hours.
No, it ain't that one. It's just iTunes update, nigga. Don't start. I don't have a Mac. That's what I'm saying. This is on my Windows computer. All they doing is updating iTunes. So that's the only thing Apple I have on my computer. Oh yeah, I wouldn't even dare try a regular update. That would be
let's
insane.
Say happy birthday to the icon Selvin Mizrahi, also known as Deborah. MC Deborah, better known as Kool-Aid. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday,
only,
Selvin.
Only if you know her.
Right.
Still accept Kool-Aid from everybody.
I know.
Maniska. How many names did you hire? Maniska, Beverly, Deborah. There's been some other names.
Yeah.
Whatever she feels
well,
like.
Well, you know, you
herself.
Reached a certain age if you can still remember Selvin Leviticus.
Okay. Ooh. You went there.
I did.
You went there.
I love Deborah with all my heart, and just the happiest birthday in the world.
Oh yeah,
her.
We forgot Beverly. We forgot Beverly.
Yes, Beverly.
Yeah. Bev, she has so many names. Oh my God! I guess she decided to stick with Deborah. the reincarnation before you die, the reinvention. Oh, my God, stop telling me you're restarting. I know you're restarting. Jesus. This is so crazy.
Listen, don't take that.
I didn't even mean to hit that button. I didn't mean to hit that button. I meant to hit the later button. I'm only on, you know, I'm only going to be in my office for an hour. I didn't mean to hit this. I could have hit that, like, after the show and restarted. Oh, my God. I thought it was something from Blog Talk, and I hit it, and after I hit it, it just started. I was like, oh, shit. But luckily, my galaxy is allowing me to work the switchboard. Yeah, so I can see everybody. Yeah. Let me see. Okay. So today we're going to talk about, it's ironic that we're going to be talking about the military transgender ban or guidance, whatever you want to call it, because the person who is advocating it, they tried to kill his ass yesterday.
That was kind of
I know, right? And the thing about things for me, the reason why, like, I hear some people and I see some people crazy as hell talking about they wish Trump die or they want somebody to kill him or whatever. And if he die of you know, car accident or you know, just brain cancer, like, you know, whatever, that's one thing. But for somebody to kill an official, because I still have a lot of respect for the office of presidency. I have a lot of respect for the office of Secretary of Defense. So I would not want anybody to attack them and kill them, because that is a part of me and that is part of us. Whether you like it or not, whether you accept DP as your president or not, there is still an office of the presidency, and that I have a great deal of respect for. That's why it frustrates me that this coward is occupying that office. But as long as he is there, I pray for his safety as far as, you know, somebody attacking him, because they're attacking him, they're attacking us. With that said, you know.
That is a really beautiful way of looking at it.
I'm not opposed to impeachment, though. I'm not opposed to that at all. I live for the thought of impeachment. Oh, my God. So, I mean, our guest
is
borderline impeachment.
The whole thing is, I want him to live because, you know, the minute a president dies, it solidifies their legacy. So please let this man live.
Yes.
Yeah.
They become everything and more. Everything and more. But, I mean, for me, I feel like it's an attack against the United States. And I know we have a lot of things that aren't right with this country. But try to pack me up to go somewhere else, I'm not going.
Right.
I'm not going. I like my Wi-Fi.
It's
enough for no other reason. And
I'm,
I know,
one priority.
The crazy thing is, Jahira, I was considering, Josiah and I were considering moving to the Virgin Islands. And I'm looking around, looking at the cost of, you know, the cost of living and stuff like that. And, you know, I did, but I wasn't talking to you. He heard me from way in the back camera. You call my name? That's a good boy. But I was looking into the Wi-Fi situation, and, you know, it's not that stable in some places. I'm like, well, no. Ain't that a shame? I gave up paradise with the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I don't know nobody out there. I was going out there because one thing they did have that made me, you know, feel okay about living there is they have some world-class neurologists that live there. And that's what Josiah needs, you know, more above anything else. He needs to be monitored medically. But
right.
Yeah, press 1, Kellen, so I know that's your number because there's a lot of numbers on here. I don't know which one it is. 1, Kellen.
One singular sensation.
Y'all coming
to
the Lobbying Ball this weekend? Next weekend.
I really wish I could.
I want to so badly, but my good friend sociology won't let me be great.
Oh, no. I'm just waiting for him to press 1. I guess maybe he went to the bathroom or something because he hit me up saying he was on. I see numbers
That could be DC, but I don't know. It's him. I just got to
Let's talk about what happened this weekend with the NFL real quick before Kelly gets the fun. You know, your opinion, because you know mine. Excuse me. I just really think it was full of shit. Locking arms is not kneeling. They only did the shit because the president attacked these rich people, and rich people feel like you can't tell them shit. So that's why these owners went out there on Sunday and took a knee for a minute. The Dallas team took a knee, then they jumped up during this thing. The players locking arms. Some players didn't come out. It's all bitch-assness to me because this young man lost his job. It's just, to me, it was just fucking, it's bullshit. This young man lost his job, and the shit that they're doing now, they should have did last year when he lost his job, you know. That's just
Well, they're not doing it for the same reason. They're doing it to rebel against Trump. He's doing it to rebel against, you know, injustice and you know, the continuation of police brutality against black and brown people. But this conversation, but please, everyone, please welcome our special guest to the radio show. Okay, let me make sure. Mr. Kellen Leach, how are you? Welcome to Indian Action, sir.
Thank you for having me. Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Sadie.
It's such a pleasure to have you on.
What's
yeah,
good?
Sadie and Jahira are on.
Hey, Zahara.
Hey, Kellen. What's going on?
Oh, everything's good. Good to hear from you.
And you.
So are you in the States?
Kellen saved my ass when I went to visit
DC
one weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm back in DC.
Oh. How did he
save
your
ass? I need
to
come down sometime. Shady, you were just up here for a ball, man. I didn't even know the ball was going on. I wish I had to call you over there.
I've been in D.C. for 4 hours. 4 hours. It would have been three if the question was there. I was very in and out. I didn't even talk to Mary when I came. I took the 4 o'clock. I got there at 8:15. I was back on the bus at 12.
Yeah, that was a real
in and out. Why you do DC
right
like
there.
That? Yeah, that was a real in and out. See, for me, I can't come
to
DC unless somebody's going. I can't go to DC unless Shady already knows. Somebody got to bring me some moles from Baltimore. My lump crab needs to settle down into DC. Yeah, I got to have some moles. Now, without that, I just can't even deal with DC. I can't. So how's everything going? I mean, where's the last? You were in Spain last, or somewhere else? Where was the last place we were?
Yeah, I was in Spain, and that was an amazing trip. I needed a vacation, so it was right on time. I went all over Barcelona, and then took a train ride down to Seville. So that was dope. I loved it.
I need to go to Spain. I always wanted to go to Spain. My major in college was Spanish. Secondary education. I wanted to be a Spanish teacher. And then my advisor told me, you don't have the temperament to be a teacher.
Oh, absolutely. Spain is dope. And now's a good time, you know, especially if you're trying to dodge Trump. I heard what you said about 45, trying to get out of here, head on over to Spain.
Yeah.
Canada, somewhere. Time to get out of here.
But I feel like I gotta stay and do my part. I can't give my country to his a person like that. I can't surrender like that. I can't. I gotta stay here and fight.
Well, you can.
You know what I mean?
The good news is impeachment is on the table right now. Everybody's hollering impeachment, especially the black elected officials. So you know, if he gets impeached sometime
soon,
Al
Green
someone
in Texas.
Else gets in. Yep, Al Green is. Yeah. I think he's ready to announce on Monday again his second appeal to Congress to say, hey, let's impeach him. So yeah, if it goes his way, if it goes Auntie Maxine's way, then
with the kids,
we won't have too
it,
long
it can't
to
go his
back.
Way. But it can't
absolutely,
go his way, though,
especially now.
Yeah, because the Republicans have to bring that to the floor. He can say it, and he can keep reminding them, so every time he betrays them, they can think about it. You know what, it might be a good idea, but as long as they're in control, they can't even officially begin impeachment proceedings, unfortunately. There's so many rules to Congress, Senate, and the House. It's just crazy. But the purpose, I mean, more than one purpose of you being here, but for those who are listening, and seems to be you brought up D.C. too, because I couldn't find you. I knew you were calling from D.C. I was like, okay, I'll be able to find him because he's calling from D.C. But it's like 5 D.C. numbers on here again this week. So it's like, oh, man.
Had to represent.
Yeah. But we're here. We're gonna discuss a little bit about this quote-unquote guidance that Donald Trump tweeted out some time ago. I mean, what's your take on the military transgender ban or guidance against transgender? What's your understanding of it?
Okay, so I tell you what, I'll tell everybody I'm Kellen Leach. I am in D.C.
Yeah, give a little bit of your history.
I'm a 14. Sure. I'm a 14-year Army vet, and I'm a current advocate, of course, for open trans service. And, of course, you know, just kind of to summarize what's going on right now. Of course, everybody knows our commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, tweeted out very publicly that he was declaring his support to reinstate the ban against trans people, which the Obama administration lifted just last year. And that ban, most of us are familiar with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and what that ban was about, making sure that folks who had queer sexual identities were silent about who they loved. But what we don't, a lot of people don't know is that that ban is still in place, basically, for people who have, who are trans or who are gender nonconforming or non-binary. In other words, the ban that was lifted 6 years ago in 2011 made it so that anybody mm-hmm. could love whoever they wanted to love, but if you had a gender that was different from what you were assigned at birth, it didn't cover you. In 2015, a lot of advocates pushed the Obama administration to say, hey, lift this ban, you know, let all people serve. Obama said, okay. Last year, the ban was lifted. Trans people all over the military, and I was one of them, trans people all over the military were able to serve openly for a few months. Only for this year in July, Donald Trump to come back and say, no, we want the ban put in place again, which has about at least 2,500 military members who are currently serving and who are trans kind of have their careers in limbo. So that's what we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm. And to tie into people listening, July was significant because in July, because the thing that Obama did allowed current serving members to be open and trans, but it didn't allow recruits. On July 1st, it was supposed to open up for recruits. We'd be able to recruit transgender people, and that's why Trump jumped in there and like, oh, hold up, wait a minute. But go ahead, Kellen.
Exactly, yeah. And even now that Donald Trump has said, hey, let's make sure that we don't have trans people openly serving, of course, the Pentagon had to come together and say, okay, let's halt this. So as of right now, military recruits or trans people trying to get in the military cannot be recruited into the military.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, people who are serving are somewhat safe for right now. And I use that, you know, make sure I say somewhat because
right now mm-hmm.
their careers are in jeopardy right now. I mean, it's if you're at a unit, unless you were just starting to come out to your unit, you know, you could already be on hormone therapy or whatever, have had whatever surgeries that you had or just identified as trans in yourself or even gender nonconforming or non-binary. But for those people that you came out to, if anybody wanted to discriminate against you, if anybody had any kind of problem mm-hmm. with you or they wanted to get you kicked out, all they have to do is say, this person is trans and they're bothering me or this is messing up our unit or whatever, and get a couple people to go along with them, you can be kicked out. Right now, there are a number of people who are currently serving who are thinking about bringing lawsuits against the Pentagon to basically sue the Pentagon to say, hey, you legally discriminated against me during a ban or during, after the ban was lifted. So there are a number of things that's going on right now to try to help trans people stay in the military. But the very real threat is that the Pentagon has to at least hear what Donald Trump has to say and what the White House has to say and wants to implement about keeping trans people out of the military.
That is so crazy. And when you're in the military, you're just not marching around. There's a business side of the military and a sort of a corporate type of environment in some jobs in the military. So you're making moves and you're trying to, you know, hobnob and get promoted, you know, and
absolutely.
Get considered for, especially higher, if you're higher up, it's not just about taking a test. It's about networking. So
absolutely.
How do you network in that environment?
So one of the things that we absolutely know is that people of color, you know, black and brown folks, we always join the military to escape poverty. That's just one of the avenues
mm-hmm.
that we take in order to
mm-hmm.
make it some kind of way, gain success. That's certainly the way that I made it, or the certainly way that I tried to get out of the ghetto in Mississippi. And while we're doing that, you know, when it comes to, hey, this is my moneymaker, this is my way to education benefits, even healthcare benefits, you know, for trans folks, trans-related healthcare surgeries even, this is the way I get all of that, and to have that taken away from you, you know, it's a huge deal. And for those people who are trying to, like you say, network and get somewhere, get to the next level, when you're outed as trans, you know, back in the day when it was Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you're outed as queer, that was a huge
mm-hmm.
Damper on what you're going to be able to do in your civilian life or in your career after
right.
the military. And that's one of the things that people are dealing with right now. We know black and brown people tend to transition earlier, and we tend to blend in really well into society. So you have a lot of people who
mm-hmm.
are stealth, who would wish to come into the military and just make it, and those people are being banned as well.
So it's, I mean, when you consider what could happen to you, all the perils that could befall you being in the military, financial may be something that puts it on your mind, but you do take into consideration, I could be in Afghanistan or here, or any place where there's danger. It's just, so that, I mean, it's real that you're in the military there to, first of all, defend the United States' interests. So
right.
to think that somebody's just coming in because they want surgery, or there's other ways to get surgery and stay out of the military. You know what I'm saying? There's other ways to, I mean, you can go and be a crack dealer and make more money than the military. I mean, there's other options.
Mm-hmm.
But you have people, Donald Trump is trying to make it seem like people are just coming in just to have surgery. No, nigga, I could be Elvis stationed in Iraq right now. What are you talking about? I know that, you know, people know that they want to serve. They want to make money, too, but they want to serve their country.
Right.
And it's an admirable thing.
You know, one of the studies that just came out a couple months ago when Donald Trump got on Twitter was when he said that, hey, we want to make sure that we re-implement this ban because it's costing the military so much money. When the estimated cost for all trans-related surgeries or health care was around $75,000 per person, the average military soldier gets hundreds of thousands of dollars per care while they're still in the military. That's any kind of surgeries
mm-hmm.
that they have to have after fighting in a combat zone, or any kind of regular surgeries they just have to have after regular wear and tear on your body. So $75,000 per $200,000, let's say, for any other soldier. I mean, you know, it just didn't pan out. It didn't
mm-hmm.
make sense. But and the average soldier nowadays has already deployed. NCTE, the National Center for Trans Equality, put out a statement saying that the average trans troop right now who is actively serving has about 8 years in, which lets me know they have at least one or two combat tours. I have three under my belt. So when you talk about people who have served and who have been trained, who have, as a matter of fact, volunteered to protect the freedoms of Americans, and
mm-hmm.
this now we're telling them that, hey, we're going to legally discriminate against you and legally take freedoms away from you that you fought so hard for other people to have. You know, it's it's a big slap in the face. And one of the biggest problems that we keep finding or keep running into is that there are very few allies for trans military service. You know, you have these big organizations like HRC and NCTE. NCTE is an ally, of course, but you have these large, predominantly white or white-led organizations that are queer-focused, but just like they did when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was lifted, they're not advocating on behalf of trans service members. You know, when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was lifted, or when it was brought up back in the late 90s and even into the early 2000s, and then being lifted in 2011, when it was brought up, it first included trans people or trans military service. But they took that out because it was not going to be the sexy thing that got us across the finish line. So trans people, of course, because we were silent, because we didn't really have people advocating for us, we just let it go. And then when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was lifted.
Don't you find that common in most trans issues? Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what happened. We just kind of got left by the wayside. And so now we're trying to fight for a trans service. And again, one of the things that we keep running into is visibility. People want to see trans people. Mm-hmm. But we all know trans people, just to survive, sometimes trans people are stealth. Sometimes trans people don't necessarily come out and say, hey, I'm trans, until they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s even. So it's a lot of issues that goes that are causing people to – I won't say issues that are causing people not be allies. It's just an issue that we don't have many allies advocating for open trans service and really pushing the Pentagon to do the right thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. But like I was touching on, you have like trans health issues. You don't have a lot of people advocating for trans employment. You know, just social justice. And when, unfortunately, when a trans person goes to prison or jail or whatever, it's so many things that queer people in general, or the LGB, have accomplished, but the T has not. And you keep running into it. And as far as the allies, I feel like you're kind of letting them off the hook a little bit, Kellen. Because I guess you don't want to be too harsh on people. But these large organizations that you're speaking of, they get so many millions of dollars. They call themselves broke, but a lot of them are like well endowed as far as money is concerned. And they have and it's just simple. When I look on Twitter and I see some of these large organizations and pushing for so many different things, and out of maybe 100 of their tweets, one of them may mention trans issues. But you call yourself an advocate of LGBT. So I think that a lot of that is in, you know, it's a lot of trans prejudice in the world. And there's this organization called the Lesbian Mafia, and I follow them on Twitter just to keep up with what they're saying, because you can't debate somebody if you don't know what their argument is. And they really don't want trans in the military, and they lobby against trans military and trans life, period. They don't even believe there's such a thing as transgender. They think it's a farce. So you got a lot of haters out here. So for you, did you ever run into any complications when you were serving actively in the military?
Actually, I had quite a bit. And, you know, in full disclosure, I'm still serving. I'm just serving in the Army Reserve now. Serving, just waiting on that final month to get here. I don't have long at all now. I've been serving for 14 years. And for me to want to hang it up, I had to finally make that decision as a self-care decision, where I said, okay, am I going to keep doing this? And, you know, knowing that I'm being discriminated against, knowing that missions are being taken away from me, knowing that even leadership opportunities were being taken away from me.
Exactly.
It used to be because of racism back in the day. That's a whole other issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was because of my perceived sexuality. And then once gender identity came into play, it was like, okay, now here's another thing that we can discriminate against you for. In 2012, I was almost kicked out. Some of you know that I donated a kidney in 2012. Well, when I did that, there were a number of stories that were coming out about the kidney donation, And one those stories had me gendered me and called me male. And so I had to disclose that to my unit and say, hey, these stories are coming out. It says I'm male. Let me go ahead and tell you that I'm trans. First day, okay. My unit was totally fine with it. They said, okay, we get it. We're so glad you finally told us because we kind of didn't like having to call you female and all that because you don't look like one. I had already been on HRT, mm-hmm. so, you know, it was natural for them. But then the very mm-hmm. next day, a guy, and again, going back to, you know, we tend to blend in, especially trans people of color blend in. There was a guy who thought me coming out as trans meant I was a trans woman and I was going to be walking around in heels or something. And he then told the headquarters that I was a confused maniac who was trying to influence my fellow soldiers, and I was not fit for duty because I wanted to be a cross-dresser and I needed to be kicked out. They started paperwork to mm-hmm. kick me out because this guy said that. They didn't check with me to say, hey, are you a trans woman? Hey, what does transgender mean? They didn't say, are you actually trans? They didn't say anything. And when they finally did, after I talked to my counsel, after I talked to them and, you know, talked to my unit about it, they sent a gay man down to talk to me to tell mm-hmm. me that he would personally kick me out if I was trans. All of that happened in 2012, and I wasn't the only person that kind of stuff happened to. It was thousands of trans people who have come forward since then to talk about their stories in private groups that we have specifically for trans service members. And there's so many stories like that where people are threatened to have their jobs, their careers taken away from them if they come out as trans. People who are actually kicked out and they lose everything, including their benefits, including their veteran status, all of those things, they're getting kicked out just because somebody doesn't like the fact that they're trans. It happened to me in 2012. It happened to me again in 2014. And in 2015, I finally just said, you know what? I'm tired. I'm just going to sit at the back and not say anything else. And I was quiet. And this year I decided that it was time for me to hang up my boots and go home.
So you got 1 year to hit the 15, right?
It would be that, but I'm getting out in January. Luckily, my time will be up then. It'll be up. And I really, you know, I was one of those ones who I really wanted to make a career out of it. I wanted to hit my 20 years. And I was fast-tracking. I was one of those soldiers, as we say, where I was a who a soldier. You know, I was really squared away. I was good to go. I was taking all this training. You know, the military spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on training me for my different military specialties. And then I spent three different combat tours making sure that I knew how to do my job and carry that stuff out. And I'm the one at the end of the day, I said I would never get out of the military unless I was dragged out. And now here I am, you know, choosing for self-care to say, let me hang it up. And so many other people, though, instead of them making the decision to leave it alone, they're staying in and suffering in silence, just hoping that someone would advocate for them, hoping that someone will say, hey, let's take care of these trans folks that's in the military. Even though they can't come out, even though people don't know that they're trans, they're just sitting there like, okay, somebody please say something. And that's kind of where we are right now, just hoping that someone will say something and the Pentagon will do the right thing.
So you got instead of just a soldier story, you got a trans soldier story, which is horrible. I mean, because you know how black folks have gone through some horror stories in the military, but to go through the spectrum, okay, you're a person of color in the military, then you're a queer person of color in the military, and then you're trans person. My God. I guess you are like, look, you know what? Y'all don't appreciate me. And the thing is, I remember you being deployed and risking your life and even your freedom because you could be captured overseas.
Absolutely. And, you know, trans people have served in every trans people have served in every specialty in the military. You know, we have trans folks who are Navy SEALs, you know, some of the best and the brightest military soldiers or troops. We have some folks who are, like you said earlier in the show, who handle finances for the military, who handle personnel issues for the military, folks who actually go on the battlefield and risk their bodies and risk their lives for American people in the military. So trans folks are in the military experience, We've just got to make sure that we're brave enough as Americans who want, who, you know, choose patriotism so often. We've got to make sure that we're brave enough to fight for trans folks when they're, when we're asking them to go out and fight for us. And a lot of people will tell you Donald Trump is one. He doesn't even want to ask trans people to fight for him, but he wants to start a lot of wars. And we're going to need bodies to go and serve our country. If we get in a war in Korea or whoever else that we're trying to go to battle with, we're going to need to put people in those seats. And who best to put in those seats than people who want to volunteer for those seats and who want to go overseas and who want to fight for whatever reason, they volunteer for this. And, you know, now it's just not the time to try to take those people out.
Because, you know, nobody with the last name Trump is going to war.
Right.
I guess they'll have a, hurt, they'll have heel spurs like he did. He's crazy. He is crazy. He got heel spurs, keep him out of the Oh, my foot hurts. I can't go in. I can't imagine Eric Trump being in the military or Don Jr. out there trying to act like a diva. They'll probably get friendly fire and hit them. But shut up. So you're gonna hang it up in January.
Yep, I'm hanging it up. I'm coming home, and I'm one of the lucky ones, I would say, because I took advantage of my veterans benefits before I got out. So I wanted to make sure I had a smooth transition out of the military. One thing that I learned from my gender transition was making sure that I knew what I was dealing with, research. So I implemented that with my transition out of the military instead of me just kind of getting out without retirement benefits because I'm leaving early. I made sure that I took advantage of all of my veterans benefits, health care, compensation, all that kind of stuff, which I tell you, you know, if we don't say anything else in this conversation, if you guys know any trans folks who are veterans, please, please stress to them, make sure that they take advantage of all of their veterans benefits. Make sure they go to the VA. It does not matter their gender. You know, this military conversation is twofold. You got active folks or folks who are actively serving, and you got veterans. Folks who are actively serving have to deal with the transgender ban. Folks who are veterans or who have already served, they don't have to deal with the ban. It doesn't matter your gender. You are able to get benefits as long as you've served. As long as you can have your paperwork that said you served, even if your name has changed, bring your court order form. If your gender has changed, bring your Social Security card or whatever whatever documents show that you that your gender has changed, your letter from your doctor, and you get your veterans benefits. That includes health care. That includes, you know, your education benefits. That includes your disability compensation if you're eligible for that. So please make sure that veterans across the board have access to the VA and are making sure that they're getting their benefits.
Yeah. I have a couple of friends who are trans, and they do – get their benefits filled with the VA. And that's a whole other issue. We don't even start talking about the VA. Depends on where you are. But in Virginia, they know to go to Hampton. You don't get them services. And, you know, medication alone is a good reason to use your VA benefits, because medication, pharmaceuticals, is no joke. But, yeah, definitely take advantage of everything. Even education or your children, they're entitled to some benefits depending on your status when you got out. I know my children had benefits because their father retired 24 years from the Navy. And I made sure that when they went to school, you go to their Veterans Affairs office and make sure that they give you some money. And they did.
Absolutely. And for those trans people who – trans and even LGB folks who got out of the military either under Don't Ask, Don't Tell or now this military ban, they were kicked out and they got less than honorable discharges. There are ways you can fight that discharge and make sure that you get credit for your honorable service. So, you know, take that in consideration. Don't just stop if you got kicked out. Make sure you fight that. And I'm not necessarily talking about in court. You can fight it by filing paperwork with your congressperson, whoever that is, and say, hey, look, this is what happened. This was the circumstances in which I was kicked out, and I want my honorable service. You can do that. So make sure you don't stop. Just get those benefits because the military owes you that. The United States, the people of the United States of America owe you that. So take advantage of those benefits.
Yeah. And you gotta have some stick-to-itiveness. So sometimes, you know, little people in little offices will tell you no, but you got to keep on pushing because, like Helen just said, you've earned those. It's not like somebody's giving you anything. You're entitled to it based on your service. And you just really, I mean, it just really hurts me because I know that you love being in the military, and it's sad that the conditions are such that you would consider that's something else. But I'm proud of you for serving, and I appreciate your service.
Thank you.
You're still
thank you,
God.
Thank you. Keep on supporting.
Though, right?
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm still government.
Say,
and that was that was a part of my transition, making sure that I had a job to. I actually put my the skills that I learned in the military, put those jobs to work. And that's what I do in the government. I make sure that veterans have good jobs, good careers. So I do this every day. It is definitely a passion for me. And, yeah, I'll continue to make sure that all of our veterans across the board have good jobs.
That's awesome. This is so it's important because some of them come back with different situations. You know, some people are able to be in the military and stay, you know, capable of functioning. But some people come out with a different mindset, different set of challenges. And I'm hoping that somebody's there for them to, you know, to assess them and see where they fit in, because everybody wants to be able to fit in somewhere. And if they can't work, at least if they're getting a disability and everything that they're entitled to, I'm glad that somebody does your job involve anybody like that, or is it somewhere separate? That's a medical situation. If they're mentally
what?
Challenged.
Well, yeah, we definitely have officers across the federal government that make sure that people, all people with disabilities, are able to still have some sort of workplace protections, and that of course includes trans people who have served in the military and have gotten some sort of disabilities as a result of military service. I make sure that folks know that veterans have benefits and that they can utilize them, and then I make sure that veterans know where to get those benefits. There are sites like veterans.gov and benefits.gov where veterans.gov, if a veteran needs any kind of benefits, you know, even if you can't remember what they can get, you can always tell them to go to veterans.gov and they can get the information off there. Any regular American person, you can tell them to go to benefits.gov and figure out what you're eligible for. You know, there are so many benefits across the board that the federal government offers to anybody, you know, from Obama phones that,
is
you
it,
know, of course, we're in the black community.
Gov?
So, you know, yep, veterans.gov with an S on it. Veterans.gov with an S on it. Mm-hmm. Veterans.gov. And even if you put vets.gov, you'll get to the same type of information. But those are the sites where veterans.gov is the site where it's the government's one-stop shop for veterans employment. And everything that you want to know about veterans employment, you can pretty much find it there. If you want to hire veterans, you can find that information there. If you want to find a job as a veteran, and really anybody can go to that site and find a job. And there's a database there where you can just tap into it. If you want to get information on how to conduct yourself in a job interview, what kind of jobs you're eligible for. And for veterans or folks who are currently serving in the military and about to get out, like me, you can go on that site and say, hey, look, I want to translate my military skills into some civilian experience for a resume. You can do that too.
Right.
And that's definitely one of the things that I stress all the time to folks who are currently serving, especially black and brown folks and especially trans people, because we've got to prepare for, you know, I'm definitely a living witness of that. We've got to prepare for life outside of the military in case this ban is reinstated. And if the ban is not reinstated, we've still got to have a plan B just in case military service isn't for us. a lot of people will say, I'm sure, you know, you guys will probably see pretty soon a lot of people advocating for military service. I advocate for open service, but I'm very real, especially when it comes to black and brown people serving in the military. When you need to go, you need to go. You know, if you don't feel safe, you need to go. If you don't feel comfortable enough where you can do your job and you can be effective and you can be eventually be a leader at your job, you need to go. So civilian careers is definitely something that we need to focus on and make sure that all veterans have access to, and I'm going to keep pushing for that.
Well, if a trans person came to you today and in your capacity with the Labor Department, would you, and they were like, I'm not out to my unit, but I'm thinking about it, would you advise them just to hold tight?
Yes. As bad as that may sound, I would advise, right now, I would advise any trans person actively serving in the military, if you're not already out, don't come out now. It's not that I want you to hold back who you are. I definitely don't. I know that experience. I don't want you to do that. But for your safety and for the safety of your career, right now is a time where your career would be in jeopardy if you were to come out. People will tell you, maybe come out, you know, you can sue and all that. But if you sue the military, you are always going to be the person who sued. And you are always going to have that over your head as long as your career, you're in your career.
Out.
So,
Your career
and
is
there
over.
Are some
you
people,
sue them, you definitely do.
I'll say there are some people you guys are going to see here in a bit where some people will be suing the military. And you can pretty much assume that those people aren't black and brown because we need our job. So, you know, we don't have the privilege enough to come out and then just have those protections. So I would say anybody who's serving, don't come out. But if you are a veteran, make sure that you take advantage of your benefits. And if anybody wants to any trans folks, especially trans folks who are serving in the military, if you want to contact me, by all means, please hit me up. I'm on Facebook. Let me know what you need, and I can get you in contact with the right people if I'm not the right person to talk to. But definitely make sure you are being safe and handling your business so that you can transition into a successful civilian career after your service.
That's awesome. I thank you so much for coming. And I also, you know what I want to thank you for? Remember, a year or so ago, you put out something about finding your money in the U.S. Treasury Department?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you
I got like $897, sure did.
Why you ain't like me link?
Pardon me?
Why you ain't send me the link?
Oh.
I did.
Oh, is it? That's an easy link too. It's
said it again.
Yeah.
If you go to missingmoney.com, if you can remember that, missingmoney.com, that's the
site.
You can even Google it. Yeah, you can even Google missing money. You'll see a government site that comes up. It's a government site about unclaimed money. You'll see that one, and it'll still point you to missing money. If you just put your name in there, follow the steps, look for your zip code, look for everybody you know zip code, your name and zip code, it'll point you to missing money. And what that is if you overpaid on a phone bill, or if you put in a deposit for some place that you rented and you never got the deposit back or something like that, you overpaid on a bill or something, that money is just sitting in limbo, sitting in the air waiting for you to get it. So you can write to the person who owes you that money, who had to declare that money. You can write to them and get the money back. So I've heard a number of people get money off there. I still ain't got none yet, but one of these days, maybe I'll open
it. It was an old employer. And the thing is, the crazy part is, I don't know how I even missed it. But I worked for, I was a manager of Victoria's Secret. And I left Victoria's Secret. I stayed in the company. I went to Bath and Body Works, and I was getting paid. I guess I was getting paid, so well, I was like, hey. But part of, I guess, a bonus or whatever, commission or whatever, because my check was definitely more than $897. But I guess I just didn't get it, and that's who it was, and they sent me my money. Yeah, buddy. Like, appreciate it.
I love that. I'm all about us getting money and folks getting access, get what you owe.
And I'm also in the process of getting money that my son is owed. He's deceased now, but I just sent them his death certificate and everything, so I'm still working on that one. But he is owed some money. I don't know how much yet, but yeah. And I was at least $199 was one. It's a couple of different places that he's owed money from. So, yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thank you all so much for having me. And thank you all so much for having conversations like this. We need to keep spreading the word so people can advocate on behalf of trans folks.
Thank you. Yes, we will continue to do that. And next week, everybody, Jahira, Sadie, we're having Ty. You all know him on Facebook. It's Ty Ben. Ben Dope, something like that.
Yep.
And AJ, Mr. Chef Almighty, they're going to be on next week discussing just the scene in Philly. Ty's left Philadelphia, but I'm sure he has some stories to tell us, because all roads lead to the Lon Van Ball the weekend after that. So we're going to have some people on talking about Philly trans, some brotherly love, as Jahira called it. So please tune in with us next week. Shady?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay. Do you have anything to say to me? I'm saying,
have
we're saying
good
night. You
weekend. Wanna... God bless.
Jahira?
Absolutely. Y'all be safe. And again, unfortunately, that we've done this every week since we started, but we'd like to dedicate the show to the memory of the 21st trans woman murdered this year out of Missouri.
Yep, they're still doing it, y'all. We have to fight so we got to stay focused. We got to focus.
Yeah.
If you're part of the LGBT community, you can't just be, if you're a lesbian, you can't just hang around lesbians and think life is going to be safe. If you're a gay man, you can't just think you're safe. They're coming for all of us. When they're coming for all of us. I mean, you too. So we all got to stick together.
So this one's,
pardon me?
So this one's dedicated to the memory of Allie Lee Steinfeld, who left this world at 17 years old.
It's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Just a baby. So thank you all so much. We appreciate you. We appreciate you coming by to just check on us and see how we're doing. And we will continue to bring you relevant topics. And thank you so much, and good night.
Good night.